Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 146, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Bob Saxton, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck American fascism. It's Friday, August 13th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Don't come closer, anti-masker. I know that you don't see it my way, but you may be asymptomatic. Have you checked the CDC today? That is courtesy of Malicious Dish and My Beautiful Pipes. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Fuck the GOP! I don't care, it's all side for me. Fuck the GOP. Mitch looks like a turtle to me.
All right, so shout out to Lex Loogie at Mr. Lugubrious for that wonderful Sister Sledge inspired, aka.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the wonderful Sophia Alexandra!
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you? Since I see you all the time. Yeah, it's like having my good neighbor on.
Hey, neighbor. I feel like I'm the third wheel today.
Yeah, anyway.
No,
yeah.
Jack, you never could be.
Don't mind.
So
don't,
anyway,
don't mind him,
remember
Sophia.
What we were talking about?
I know,
earlier.
He did wear that shirt.
Sucker.
Sucker?
I mean,
the shirt?
No, she meant me. Oh. I lost my bed. Anyway, inside joke,
what
Jack.
Happened?
Sorry.
It takes a lot of time.
Hey, dude. Sophia, remember.
What are you guys talking about?
Sophia,
just
remember.
Walk in laughing.
Remember, Sophia. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs?
Yeah. That was a good time.
Anyway.
Really wish that Jack was there, but he wasn't.
Yeah. So no, I wasn't. cool.
Anyway, so what's up, Jack?
Nothing, SpaghettiOs. All right.
It's still funny, even though he doesn't know what he's doing. It's
no,
still
I
funny.
Totally, I get it.
Well, don't encourage
it.
I think I get it. He took a risk on that one.
Uh-huh.
Just let him feel that one.
Anyways, right. I'm going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. I don't think Miles can get to know you any better. You guys are best friends.
We actually constantly learn more about each other on our other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, a production of iHeartRadio. Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think a lot, I actually suspect a lot of Zeit Gang doesn't know I do another podcast because when I mention it, it's at the end of the show when I do AKA or the Twitters and stuff. So anyway, if you don't know, now you know. Anyway.
If you don't
no big deal, but if you love 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, just hop in.
And if you like really good Seinfeld impressions.
It's actually, the show is very heavy on Miles doing all kinds of impressions.
Really weird impression. It's just become the Miles Gray impression hour, slowly but surely.
I mean, that sounds really good to me.
Which I think is it's also the Daily Zeitgeist now that I found my inner Ben Shapiro.
Sophia, before we get to know you even better, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about all-around fuckery coming from the Trump re-election, the creep committee to re-elect the president.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, it's like dumb creep, because creep was the name of the Nixon thing that got him in trouble.
Oh,
this
shit,
is
right,
like
right.
dumb creep.
Oh, I thought it was a TLC ref. Yeah. I was like, that sounds tight.
And for me,
I'm on board.
Radiohead. So
right.
Everything's Radiohead nowadays.
Wow, you must be a real Radiohead if you know creep. Their deepest cut.
Oh, yeah. There's that one. And that's probably like the best song. I mean, I like all their songs, but I think that's probably the best one.
Yeah, yeah.
That I can name.
The Car Police one. I love that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the Suckin' Lemons one.
Yeah.
I like that one too.
Love the Suckin' Lemons one. We're going to talk about...
What about Double Rainbow? You guys love that one?
Oh, yeah. And Double Rainbows? Yeah.
Yep. Mm, yep.
So oh, man. Good.
That sounds like such a
that
great
other one,
idea for viral content from the early aughts.
For like all like the
double
like
rainbow guy mixed with in rainbows.
For people who love like water sports, there's that anthem, dude. Spear fishing.
Oh my gosh.
Spear fishing. Yeah, I love that one, man. Uh-huh. Me and my boys in Montauk. Dude, love and banging that one.
Yep. Good one. There's a new trend in a governor's mansion design where we're gonna start throwing up big ass fences around
big
them.
Ass fences. Yeah.
We're gonna talk about Uber, our favorite company all around, just the best. We're gonna figure out what we're rewatching this weekend or watching for the first time. Yeah. We're gonna talk about Cheetos mac and cheese, all of that, plenty more. But first, Sophia, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
So I was talking about Russian food yesterday and telling someone about this dish called gogol mogol, which is like a little thing that your mom would make you that was like a sweet dessert. And it's just like egg yolks that you would just beat with like a fork or whatever and some sugar and like vanilla. And you can throw some other stuff in there, depending what you like. But you would just have that, and it was such a little treat. And then when I told people in America, they were like, "You eat raw eggs?" I was like, "All right, I'm not gonna like it here."
Yeah,
but
I'm not gonna like it.
Calm down, refrigeration gang over here.
So yeah, gogol mogol, fucking delicious.
Wait, what? How do you spell that?
Gogol, mm-hmm. Like gogol, and
like
then
gogol bordello.
Yes, and then. M-O-G-O-L.
Oh, mogul. Great.
Gogol mogol.
And have you made it as an adult? Like, because I recently started making stuff. Now that I realize I'm an adult with cooking skills, I'm like, yeah, wait, why don't I make like my favorite like hanjuku egg, like, you know, like a super soft boiled egg with soy sauce. Like I just, my simple
so
child breakfast. Have you made it recently?
No, I haven't. And when I was talking about yesterday, the reason I looked it up is I was like, I should make like an adult version, because they were saying you could put brandy and shit in it.
Oh,
when I was Googling it, and I obviously, as a child, my grandpa just gave me vodka straight,
so
I never had it inside.
How much
dessert.
Vodka?
A shot.
Yeah. A shot, just to like bedtime.
Just like he would
or
say,
to wake up in the morning.
He would say "Le petita," which is like for your appetite. So with like dinner. And recently
it.
My mom just found that out. She's like, "When was this?" I was like, "I don't know. Me and my cousin were like six." She's like, "What?"
Damn. Hell is that normal though, to hit the vodka early, like at six?
Culture? I mean,
or like your grandpa was kind of lit. He was like,
"Our culture is full of alcoholics."
Right.
So
right.
Who can tell?
Yeah.
That sounds really good. The egg
It's delicious, and it's so easy to make.
Yeah, you're just saying vanilla, sugar, and I could do that right now.
Yeah, do it right
now.
Okay,
hold on. I'll be right back.
Okay, see you.
And how would you, it, would it be in a bowl that you would eat with a spoon? Would it be like something
like
you just drank?
In a mug.
In a mug.
Okay, right. Easy.
With a spoon? No spoon? Sip?
With a spoon, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Our treats were cheese flats, I've talked about, with a tortilla and cheese on top.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are cheese slats?
Cheese flats.
Oh, that was, flats.
That's what our family named them. We had a naming ceremony, and that got voted
basically
to the top.
Half a quesadilla.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but you put it in the oven so it crisps up. It's pretty good. And then, cinnamon toast was.
I love cinnamon toast.
The easiest thing.
Oh, you just like a little butter, sugar, cinnamon.
Butter, sugar, cinnamon. Yeah. Cheerios with a scoop of sugar also really like.
Oh, yeah. Kix. I remember because remember Kix, Kix cereal? They didn't used to have really that much sugar. And I used to get in trouble like getting caught. Like I would actually, because my parents wouldn't let me put sugar on the cereal. Mm-hmm. I would lift sugar packets from diners as a kid and have that
oh
shit
my
on
God.
Deck. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to eat it in my room. And like low key, I'm like putting all this like sweet low and shit. And they're like, what's wrong with you? You caught me. Like, I'm sorry, Ma. This shit tastes like shit without the sugar.
It's just coming out of your shirt cuff.
You're yeah. Like- right. What's that movie where they're doing that? When they're doing the baseball game?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, that
it's
moment.
It's like when your mom finds condoms in your room as a kid, but the condoms are actually sugar packets, and she's even more disappointed.
Like, oh, my God.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so I've just really been annoyed with leftist Twitter after the VP announcement.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry that nothing is perfect in the entire world. Mm-hmm. But can we stop talking about, oh, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's literally what it is to make a choice between two things.
Right.
Which thing is less bad?
Right.
Well, and I'm sorry, like, if you didn't understand from the last election till now that actually the two evils were pretty different, then I don't know what to tell you. And like, look. No one's getting what they want. It's fucking politics. Just be an adult.
Right.
I think, I feel the criticisms are valid, but I understand too, like, if it's, there's no like point in then also just saying like, well, I'm going to remove myself from this thing and allow like just the fascist party to just get a full head of steam going into the next 4 years. I think that's like, that's pretty reckless because that's the, one of the only ways that we can stave that off very narrowly in the context of this election. But also, like, I think the frustration is just generally for people, like, to your point, the idea that no one can get what they want, I think should be really upsetting to people because there are so many people seeking equality. And to just have this idea that nobody is going to get what they want is it's hard to like stomach that. And I think that's the thing.
No,
that
I just
that is,
mean it in a large way, not like we
like
can't.
Like the perfect candidate for each single person. Yeah, sure.
That's all I mean. I don't mean it in like, oh, no, we can't get what we want in terms of like workers' rights or rights for Black people. Like, of course, I think that is non-negotiable and that we will get that. Like, I think that we tend toward progress in the long run. But if we haven't noticed how much worse things became from Trump being in office, then like I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And also it discounts and shits on a lot of people. Like Kamala Harris wasn't somebody that I was that interested in, you know. I don't really care if someone makes someone cry on television. Like I like that she did that. Like that's great that Brett Kavanaugh was crying, but I'm not gonna elect somebody for that. And she's a cop, and that is my problem, and that's a lot of people's problem. But
yeah, it's
to
not
me,
to the point where like, all right, end it all, just pack it up.
I mean, I think
but
that
I
was
didn't
Brett
want to
Kavanaugh's
tweet any
problem.
Shitty and like sarcastic stuff because I also saw a woman post a tweet about like a 93-year-old Black woman that she was canvassing on the phone with was crying when she found out that Harris was the VP, and she was talking about picking cotton and shit and like having the fucking wish that she could tell her grandmother that this is something that's happening. And I don't think we should take everything away from the people to whom it means something by just being so shitty and callous. You can definitely tweet an argument and be like, this is what I don't like about this. But to do the thing where you just completely negate and shit on the entire thing, that's a disservice. The reason Republicans have fucking been able to get their agenda across, because they would rather swallow the giant shit that is Trump than abandon their party. And it's not honorable, but that is how they've gotten more shit done.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, the Republicans are an insurgency. They're like a smaller portion of the population. They're more willing to just all take their marching orders and get behind it. And that is definitely an advantage that they have.
It's just like anytime I get angry about this kind of shit, I'm like, okay, that's more time I need to be putting into local politics. That's more time I need to be putting into like candidates that can make a big difference in like where I live, instead of hoping that everything in the world's going to get changed when I elect the president.
Right. Yeah, well, I think you're going to find more people in line with whatever your political ideologies are, the more local you get. Like at the federal level, like it's just hard to do that. So that's why you get these candidates who's like, it's like, the architect of mass incarceration plus California's top cop is the ticket. And then, but that's just what it is, because you don't get there being like super hardline with your ideals, or else you typically, those people fall into activism and not politics. And I think that's what you're seeing now is more on the local level, people moving from different spaces into politics. And I think that's why we see more of these candidates, like at least from Congress, like from the House of Representatives down, you see a lot more people that are like, oh shit, like this is somebody who's really kind of like on that wave. So I hope that definitely keeps going.
That's the trend I think that is good, because I think people, if the frustration isn't directed into like putting action into your local, local politics, local government, then that frustration's really useless. And like, that is what the other quote unquote side wants. Like, it'd be great for fascists if we stopped engaging in the election
all
process.
Politics in general.
Yeah, and everything.
Right. What is something you think is underrated?
I think that the movie Heartbreakers with Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt
is underrated.
Yeah.
Wow.
That movie's really fun.
Yeah, sorry. I saw that in the theater.
I've seen it a lot.
I really I was a huge Jennifer Love Hewitt fan.
Yeah. Who wasn't? Are you kidding me?
Me
she also
too.
Like she like grew up or like in the valley too, and like Toluca Lake. So like I remember people like she used to be like a legend. Like Jennifer Love Hewitt was at Bob's on Riverside.
Wow.
We're like, oh my God. Her JLH.
I would have never left Bob's because she's so fine.
But yeah, that movie really was. Remind me again, are they like a mother and daughter con artist team?
Yes. So it's like a remake of an older movie where it was starring two men, I think. And they conned women out of their money.
Got it.
This movie is like a mother and daughter duo who con like millionaires out of money or whatever. And it starts with like Sigourney Weaver being married or getting married to Ray Liotta, which is so fun.
Right.
And then Gene Hackman is the guy that Sigourney Weaver tries to seduce. And he's like a disgusting cigarette like smoker.
Right.
And it's delightful. There's only a couple of
salesmen or executives.
Yeah, I think he's like an owner of the. He's really committed to the cigarettes.
Got it.
Not just like casual, but yeah. And then, you know how like you watch a lot of movies that you used to love or like older movies back, and you're like, this is so unacceptable, like feminism wise or rape culture wise. Like this is right. I shudder. This movie has only like the tiniest bit of.
Oh. Only 4%.
This is problematic. 5%? Yes. Right. You know what I mean? So the rest of it is pretty enjoyable.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like everybody that was in that movie, like Galifianakis is in it. Like, and like
Sarah Silverman's in it.
This cast is incredible.
Jason Lee is the love interest for Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's a fucking great movie.
Anne Bancroft. It's got everything. It's got something for everybody.
Anything with Hackman, I feel like now it's like we kind of took him for granted, and then he retired, but Yeah, I am going to watch this movie.
And watching him hack his lungs out and keep thinking that his name is Hackman,
yeah,
that really just did everything for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny because that movie came out at a very innocent time in America, March 23rd, 2001.
Wow.
Wow, what happened?
Just a pre-9/11 world, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah. I miss watching movies that like were, when you realize like, oh, this is pre-9/11. Like there's like a sort of a, there's like a different sort of like carefree attitude of like the characters, I feel, that like are kind of absent after that.
Yeah.
And
Friends. That's why we love Friends so much. It all takes place in a, even the episodes that come out after 9/11 take place in a pre-9/11 world.
They're like, let's not do that.
Also, Sigourney Weaver is so fine in that movie. Like, I know we all expect Jennifer Love Hewitt to be hot, but Sigourney Weaver brings it in this movie.
Oh, she's
underrated.
She's
wearing fucking all lace fucking unitard bodysuit things.
She is.
She's just, she's fucking fire in it. It's
Sigourney. Ripley.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I just like have been wearing this red bandana thing.
You wear it well. I was gonna compliment you on it. You look great.
And yes, it looks like I'm in the Bloods, so that's a myth. No, the myth was that people keep saying that I look like Rosie the Riveter, or just will always say the Rosie the Riveter thing. And like Rosie the Riveter is such a bummer fake feminism thing, and like I don't know if a lot of people know about it, but Rosie the Riveter was just like a concept to make housewives go to work to help the war effort when Americans were in World War II. And then basically afterwards, they were like, okay, now you go back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much like, this is temporary.
Yeah.
So Rosie the Riveter isn't like this feminist symbol that like we have now made her out to be. It's just more of like a con where it was like, okay, ladies, you can do it.
That'll do it.
We don't need you to do it anymore.
Right. All right. The men are back. The men are back.
Yeah,
are
exactly. Back. And yeah, and they had to go to like lower paid positions and stuff. And like the workforce, the women in the workforce percentage decreased a lot. And like they had to take shittier work if they did stay. And like, less money. Yay, Rosie the Riveter.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Trump participated in his usual, you know, political mode of saying the thing that we were
out
all speculating that was like his secret motive out loud. Yeah, he admitted that without the Postal Service funding that he is actively blocking, the election won't happen or will be very difficult to happen. And
because it's all a fraud. That's the deal.
So he's fucking the election
you
on
already
purpose.
Know. If they do the mail-in voting, then it's going to be a fraud. So that's why I got to block it. And then they won't be a fraud. So his out loud, he says, therefore, they don't have the money to do the universal mail-in voting. So therefore, they can't do it. How are they going to do it if they don't have the money to do it? Okay, asshole.
Right.
So now we're... It's getting so much more like louder and in your face of like, I'm not fucking leaving. Like, I'm going to fucking tear the whole thing down. Like, I'm the Postal Service. They're treating it like a business now where they're like, it costs this much billion to run the Postal Service. It's not a motherfucking revenue generating business.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like
service.
They don't talk about other budgets like education. Like, or the military like that. I mean, like, they still find ways to cut education funding, but not the military, at least not the military. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the same way that they're, like, sort of, juxtaposing these arguments about it. And the Postmaster General that's in there is already tearing shit down from the inside. Like, at such an aggressive pace, it's unbelievable. They have their postal workers, I think, somewhere in the Midwest that were saying, some of the sorting machines were being removed from certain post office hubs. So that means like sorting the mail becomes even more difficult because they're actively removing the technologies to do that, to create even more of a backlog. It's so
there's cynical. Also a medications thing that's pretty fucked up, right? So like a lot of people get their medications mail ordered. So, and the way that the refills work is like, they get activated at the right time to get mailed out to you before you run out. But now there a lot of places are not doing like local sorting where like the things that's going to like 8 miles to you or 6 miles to you, it doesn't go in a separate place now. They reroute it to like a central facility and then it gets to go to the to the person. So it's been like causing delays in people getting their medications, which is super fucked up.
I mean, and this is, again, this is all to create the perception that the Postal Service is like inefficient. It sucks. We don't, you know, it has like a 91% approval or something astronomically high with people. And like, this is all part of a campaign to try and bring those numbers down. And eventually, like most of how these processes work in this country, especially, then privatize it and then just be like, all right, so who wants to take over this thing? You can make a lot of money. Let's just do that rather than putting taxpayer dollars into like a fantastic service that is like one of the best parts of the one of the good things that runs and employs a ton of people.
This is one of those times when it's impossible for me to conceive of a way of covering this story from Fox's point of view. And so I went to foxnews.com and their big headline, New Hope for Mideast Peace. Trump announces historic diplomatic breakthrough between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. So that's what's going on here.
They're trying to make him look like the peacemaker in chief.
Right.
Rather than rat fucker in chief.
They're trying to mobilize the Jewish vote.
Sure. I mean,
it's always so, so fucking manipulative. It's to get the old Jews who like already don't know which media to listen to be like, hey, you know what? He is the savior. You know what? If there's one thing that he's done is secure Israel, that's worth voting for.
Right.
I'm really surprised though too, how I don't know, like I feel like every single person needs to have their hair on fire about this,
right?
You know, to for him to out loud. I mean, I'm not that this is the first time, but it's just so craven, and it is so cynical. And then we just have like only Democrats signing a letter being like, please fund the Postal Service. Where the fuck? What is going on? But yeah, this is where I'm always finding myself. Like every time I think like I can't be more shocked, we find a way to go for like deeper.
Yeah. And so frequently the people that voted for him are getting fucked the most, because like a lot of the people who live in rural places, for them, like the post office and mail is like a huge lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're going to get fucked more than other people.
That's we'll see. I mean, again, if maybe Congress can do the right thing, we'll see if this is purely we may just see really this full on tampering with dismantling of the Postal Service. There are so many postal workers and carriers like who work for the service that are like asking people to please pay more attention, because part of the whole like pride that they have is that like they are able to sort all the mail in a day and deliver everything on time. Like that's the pride that they get out of it. And the morale is so low now.
Right.
And it's just really, really hard to watch, because like if you've been in any job where like the vibes have been good and then some new boss comes in and fucks it all up and you're like, oh man, like this is so wrong, this is so bad. It's like that in a worse scale, and it's actually going to be a really legitimate threat to voting, which is now it's like, okay, well then now, you know, if you can vote in person, maybe you have to.
Yeah, because I've been seeing stories like that where they're like, yeah, no, you can't really do mail-in voting now. You really need to go in person if you want Biden to win, because otherwise Trump is going to claim that he won on the night of the election,
right?
And then we won't be able to get him out.
And then
like
it's like,
back
but
off that claim.
That's really our own. And then it's like more just jarring when you're like, that's our only recourse.
Right. Yeah.
Is to like, that's it. You can't. Anyway, so
and it's a fucking catch 22, because they're going to make it hard to vote in person, closing down polling stations as always, and like disenfranchising voters based on like IDs and all that stuff. So it's like, oh, well, you can't do it in person. You can do it by mail. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is open, you know, authoritarianism, fascism. They're just trying to use their power to stay in power. They've been telling us that's what they're going to do from the start. I don't know what the answer is.
Look at Belarus. What's happening in Belarus?
Yeah.
You know, you have somebody be like, nah, I just made up the election results.
Right.
People go on the streets, they're getting brutalized. Now we're seeing these like propaganda video of like them having like these protesters that look visibly beaten and being like, oh, you're going to start trying to start another revolution now?
Right.
And they're like, no, no. Like, it's just like, it's very dark. But this is, I mean, like, you, if when you're looking at someone who's saying, I refuse to let go of my power, it doesn't end with them being like, ah, you know what? I'm tired of it. Okay. I guess I'll be held accountable. I guess I'll start paying these bills and maybe I'll answer to some legal cases that I'm facing. I don't think that's going to happen. And when you look at even now, the every dimension that they are trying to manipulate this election is so, so dark and cynical. To like even the whole Jared Kushner and Kanye thing is so alarming. Okay. Because we're like, okay, Kanye's running for president. That's what he wants to do. And then it's like, who's helping him? And we're like, oh God, it's all these Republicans. And we're like, okay, so he's there to, because the Republicans think all black people will just vote for the rapper and that'll help siphon votes away from Biden. You know, Kanye even knew, like in a interview with Forbes, he was essentially acknowledging that he knew what would happen. But at this point, he's under such severe distress at the moment that it's hard to know like what he's aware he's doing, what if he knows if he's being manipulated. Because in this Forbes article, they talk about how him and Jared Kushner talk almost daily. And he's using like reverse psychology on Kanye West to keep him in the race for president. Most people are saying like, you know, like when you look at the states, you can even be on the ballot. Like, you don't really have a path to actually becoming president. It's going to be very difficult. And that like sort of got him a little bit disheartened. And then like on Twitter, he's like, no, my whole thing is to win. And when you read this article, people are saying, this is from the Forbes article, quote, and that seems to be the message that Kushner has been feeding him, talking about Kanye, quote, Jared's scared and doesn't want me to run because he knows that I can win. West has told numerous associates after his conversations with the president's son-in-law. So Jared Kushner's getting him on the phone, gassing him up, not even saying like, oh, don't worry about where you're on the ballot, man. Like you people like are feeling you so much, but like it worries us a little bit too, man, because, you know, like you got the people's ear. And so again, from this article, they say that message, the sources close to West acknowledge, is the exact one that will embolden West to stay in the race. This is a direct quote from somebody who says, if you know him for more than 20 minutes, you know that will work. He's just like a kid. The more you tell him he can't do a thing, the more he'll do it. He has a tremendous drive to prove people wrong. And that's being out just right in front of our faces, just manipulated.
It's so sad to have somebody being exploited by people that ultimately hate him and look down upon him. And
there's so many dimensions.
So tragic. So tragic. If someone did that to me, like whatever, I'm bipolar. And if when I was at my worst, someone was like, you know, it would be cool is to just fuck with Sophia. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That is
it would be and
cruel and not.
The really fucked up thing too is right. It seems subtle. Like, hey, you know, like you got the vision, man, the Yeezy 2020 vision. Like this could really be something. While they're saying that to him, these operatives who are out here gathering signatures to get him on ballots, specifically in Montana, where, you know, the local journalists were like questioning some of these people who are gathering signatures, is they're framing it like this, quote, you want to help Trump? We're trying to take votes away from creepy Uncle Joe. And then they went to another like a park where they saw more organizers to fairgoers. Same exact approach is sort of like, hey, help Trump by signing the petition to get Kanye West on the ballot. Therefore, Joe Biden will probably have less votes. That's all like it's just there. That's how it's being laid out to Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Let's exploit this man of color and whatever state he's in for just a vile, cynical aim of just trying to split some votes. And it's not, I don't even know how effective that's going to be. It's just so fucking, ugh.
I feel like we need a new word for super cynicism, like compounded cynicism, because it's just,
and to exploit someone's like superpower, and right. I don't mean his mental illness, I mean like the fact that Kanye has gotten so successful precisely because he didn't let people tell him that he couldn't achieve his dreams,
right?
And to use that like incredible driving force that made him such a successful artist, and
it's like a, it sounds like
it's so evil to use that against him. Yeah. It's truly some deeply unethical, this. Fucked up, multiple levels of
Hades level fucked up. I don't know.
Pennsylvania is not bad enough for these. Not
even so. I don't even know. But it's this is where they're at. And I mean, like, you know, as we go forward, we still see that the foreign interference is happening. Like whether it's Ted Cruz like parroting misinformation. Or like a fake Antifa website that conservative media picked up that was actually, you know, registered to like a Russian domain. Like it's all, they're doing every single thing they can. And you can even see it with the like overt, just disgusting, even racist attacks on Kamala Harris out the gates. Like right. Just, she's a mad woman. And these people are crazy. Like just out there for y'all to be like, this is how we're going to win. We're just going to just bring the fucking worst out and just see what happens. And I'm afraid doing that in the process, man, causes so we're already so damaged as a country. Like who, even, no matter what the outcome, like this election is going to put us through. We thought 2016 was bad. This is,
oh yeah.
Prepare thyself.
It's going to take a long time. What this election is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
people are like, it's not going to be decided on election night. It's not going to be decided in November. I don't think.
Yeah. Who knows? And then this year is so unpredictable. You could all see like Trump is just like, I'm taking a trip to Russia. And he's like, right. And I won't come back. Sorry, y'all. Trump out.
That would be the dream. Just on election, like prognosticating, there's like 538 open there. Pick and they have Biden winning at the exact same percentage that Clinton that had Clinton winning on the night before the 2016, 71%, which if you have a free throw shooter going to the line at the end of the game shooting 71%, you feel like shit.
No, you want Mark Price pulling up to
right
the free
you
throw
want
line.
90s yeah, and that's just not gonna happen.
Who was the best free throw shooter back then?
Back then, probably Price.
Okay.
So yeah. Sure. Still, I mean, Steve Nash was one of the greats. Curry,
you know that thing
I think,
about
is the best of all time.
Free throws that's fascinating is that it's a lot more accurate if you do it with two hands from between your legs. But because it doesn't look masculine, basketball players won't do it.
Right.
Right. Isn't like the record holders that has doing it granny? Because we even call it
Rick
granny
Barry.
Style.
You yeah.
Know exactly. I mean? It's to be like.
Look at us, problematic. You know what I mean? Just
yeah.
Be
shooting
efficient,
better
y'all.
Is gross. It's women's work, not we just women's work. Old women's work.
We need someone to fully disrupt the game with like, yo, that shooting technique is fucked up, but they cannot miss, and it's all the rage.
I mean, that's
LeBron,
what happened.
If he was brave enough, this would be his next thing.
Rick Barry shot from between his legs, granny style, 89.3%. Career free throw shooting topped out at 94.7 in the 78-79 season. He got Wilt Chamberlain to start shooting that way. Between
and then people
his
made
legs.
Fun of him.
For one season, his free throw shooting percentage went up like 30 percentage points, and like he became a solid free throw shooter, which made him the most unstoppable person in the history of basketball. And then, yeah, he thought he looked whack, so he changed back to shooting horribly.
And he's like, right, and he's like, and I have sex 900 times a day.
I mean, that
was he
was,
compensating for the free throw
I
shooting?
I was just going to say that.
Oh, they want to talk shit about my free throws? Why?
He's
I have
like,
sex
quick,
like
suck my dick, quick! Do it right now!
Validate me!
All right,
weren't
let's
just
talk-
talking about the election? Damn.
Yeah, where did I have?
We needed
oh,
a
we were
break,
talking about
God.
Free throw shooting yeah. because of the
wow. Look at us, look
yeah,
at us,
71%. There's also the guy who I was feeling like I'm just trying to, you know, this is not stuff that I put any stock in. This is just a temporary way for me to get to sleep at night because I don't drink anymore. Looking at these polls and being like, okay, well, maybe like Biden will win. There's also the guy who's predicted every single presidential election from 81 when he started putting this like thing together forward. He's correctly predicted them all, including Trump winning. He has Biden winning, but then when you look at his methodology, it's like based on him saying that Trump isn't charismatic, which is like a totally subjective distinction. And I don't know.
This is the thing. You got to vote, man. Every single, and we just, that's all we can keep saying in regards to this election specifically. That's the all you like. You have to act like the guy is trying to steal the election, which he is.
Therefore, please
act accordingly. And you know, we'll, as we get closer and closer, see what else has to be done.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that us people can do in the face of
like protest, yes,
horrifying abuse of power. So there, one of the really effective tactics of the uprising after George Floyd's lynching was like taking the protests to the neighborhoods where mayors live, where governors live,
right?
Taking it to the governor's mansion.
Right.
So South Dakota is doing something that I think might become a trend, where they are building a $400,000 fence around the residence of the state governor.
Yep. You know, I mean, Kristi Noem has made a fucking mess of things over there. She constantly is parroting the president, whatever he's like, yeah, whatever he says, cool. So like, let's just do that. Butting heads with tribal leaders, the meatpacking industry, teachers, anybody. So, yeah, I think it was natural that people are, with all the economic fallout, the societal fallout, they are displeased. And they're just saying like, yeah, man, there's like, I guess she's got some threats. So let's just put up this wall. And, you know, they still don't know how they're going to pay for it. They don't know who the taxpayers pay for it. Is there going to be some private funding? Like, do taxpayers need to be paying for something like that? But it's interesting to just see, like, we've gone from having like already our very well-made metaphorical fences that we've put up in our perceptions, right, like as Americans, to like avoid actually interacting with the dark reality of the country. And now it's like, oh, now we're crossing into, yeah, we also need the physical barriers to keep angry people that we are disenfranchising just far away enough that their sounds don't disrupt my existence as I bury my head further into the sand.
This is such monarchy shit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's straight up French Revolution shit. It's like, oh, no, we won't make the excess and the fucked upness of our government like change. Instead, we'll just ignore it. We gotta knuckle up. Yeah, exactly. Ugh, it's so gross.
Well, it just shows that they're like, that's their posture is, well, we're not going to change. So if you're going to keep this up, then we need to figure out how to deal with y'all. Right. And that's really just like, okay, that's one way to solve it and not to actually lead.
And then just kind of in the same vein, because all of this is in the same vein of just the powerful abusing the everybody else. Uber. Mm-hmm. So a California court has determined that Uber needs to treat its employees like employees.
Well, yeah. That was a big deal.
They're independent contractors. That's why we can treat them like shit. Because if they're employees, then we have to like give them shit.
That is literally Uber's entire business model.
Yeah. In 2018, this court, I think it was the California Supreme Court, or there was a Supreme Court decision in 2018 saying, yeah, here's the deal. Like if they meet these requirements, then they are a independent contractor. But based on this methodology, these are employees. Therefore, you need to figure out how to transition to this employee model where your drivers are now actually employed by you, Uber. And it's, if you know anyone who drives Uber, if you've driven Uber, you know it's difficult. You know it's not easy. You know the amount of hours you have to spend to make it worth your while is a lot. I mean, people who are traveling from like outlying counties to drive Uber in LA because there's more, the possibility of rides is higher, but like they're driving like nearly 2 hours to get here. And to think of that as your commute, and then how you have no time after that to even have with your family and just have enough to cover your gas and make a little bit more. It's a really, really, really difficult way to sustain yourself. And by not having the like benefits like an employee would, like contributions to your Social Security, fucking sick leave, a fucking minimum wage. You know what I mean? Because their whole thing is, well, if anybody's the customer, it's the driver. That was one of the legal arguments they said. It's like, because what we're doing is actually providing a service for the driver to interact with a customer that so they can make money that way. And it's just a really, it's getting darker and darker now. And I keep, this has been the theme of this episode.
Right.
Because right now, people like Uber, even DoorDash and Lyft, they're putting money into a ballot proposition in California called Prop 22. And, you know, some states have this, but you know, there's, when you have ballot initiatives, rich people can just get together and be like, we can put something on the ballot and hopefully make it a law to protect our business. And in this one, they're putting a ballot initiative that will be up to the voters in December or November. That's essentially, they're like, we want to maintain our ability to keep exploiting our drivers as independent contractors, but we get that it's kind of fucked up, so we'll make like a wage floor. So there's like kind of a minimum, but don't ask like minimum wage. And that is like their new tactic, to the point where the CEO of Uber, Dara Khosrowshahi, is saying, I will fucking pull the service of Uber in the state of California until the voters decide if you're going to make us treat these people like employees. So they're going to essentially, they're threatening the people who even use this for their livelihood to right. be like, give us a stay until we can sort this out with a ballot proposition. And if it doesn't, like, we're going to have to really think. It's fucked up.
Yep. Yeah, it's weird. It's like the Capitol is going on strike, or like has the ability to like basically strike against the workers. Well, by doing this.
You have wages low enough that they become dependent on the job. Then it's you've completely inverted the, like, not that it's an inversion of the balance of power. That's what the balance of power is. That's why people have to accept these really terrible working conditions.
Yeah, and no, it's like all the protections that are in place in a like healthy, you know, balance between labor and capital are like on the side of like all those powers belong yeah. to capital now.
Well, and Uber, you know, they're still not profitable. And but they believe, they've been telling people like they'll probably be profitable by the end of this year. And so, you know, but treating human beings like with dignity is going to cost us money. And like, that's one of the real arguments, right? It's like, well, doing that, not exploiting them is going to be too expensive, and it's going to make rates higher for the passengers, because they're going to pass that on to the consumer rather than do it themselves. When a lot of people did the breakdown, it would cost them $3,625 per driver to like transition them to actual like an employee structure, which would yeah. be $500 million annually. That's nothing compared to like the actual revenue that's generated by that business. It's nothing. But that's what we're talking about, because at the end of the day, the God that like, you know, dictates how we treat workers is this idea of shareholder value and how much profit you're making. And by suddenly being like, whoa, 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 what happened? What happened? We just lost $500,000. What happened? What's going on? Oh, well, we had to give people, you know, like sick leave, you know, make sure that they have like some kind of social security, like we're paying into things like that. Oh, well, why are we doing that? Now we just went from, you know, 18 billion to 17 and a half. No, we're not doing that. And if that's the case, then we might have to have a vote and maybe get a new CEO. Like, it's just so, again, like we were saying in the last episode, the purpose is just for all people to be able to make a living normally, not have to really whittle the hours of their day down just toiling so some other person can enjoy the fruits of that labor, that you can also have a meaningful form of income that you can provide for your family and you know, relax a little bit. That's really all this is about. But for some people, the way they relax is knowing that that revenue keeps going up. Mm.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And let's talk about some bright spots in the culture. Let's talk about Cheetos mac and cheese. This has been you know, a dorm room staple, like something that people have been sort of MacGyvering on their own with the homemade mac and cheese and just putting blue Doritos box in there. A little blue box with some orange bag.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are making it official, and Cheetos is partnering with another food company to actually make Cheetos mac and cheese. They've even got like the Flamin'
Hot. That's the only thing I give a shit about.
Yeah. Bold and cheesy, Flamin' Hot, and cheesy jalapeno.
Do you put hot sauce in your regular Kraft mac and cheese?
Always.
You do?
Yes.
What do you put in it?
Tabasco or Cholula.
Oh, shit. What about you, Sophia?
I don't really eat mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Are you lactose intolerant?
No, it's just like not really a Russian thing, so I didn't grow up eating
growing up on it, yeah.
So I don't have that like, ooh,
me
like
either,
cozy.
But also, I'm making up for lost time. I'm like, yeah, man, get the spirals this time. Get
what
them
I
with
like
the unicorn.
Is there's this place that had street corn with hot Cheetos.
Oh, hot
on
Cheetos.
It.
Yeah.
Mexican street corn, and it was fucking delicious. Elote. Yeah, elote. Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing.
I know they were I remember a couple years ago, right kind of by our office, there was like a Cheetos pop-up restaurant
right.
That was going down where they were messing around with these flavors. But to see it like now be the thing, it's really it's enticing. And I like that it spirals too from the images I'm looking at. Because you know, some that's just a little more surface area for the cheese.
It grabs
to stick
the sauce
to.
Real nice.
Yeah, thank you so much.
What it's is really that? Is that delicious. Fusilli? What's it called?
Rotini. Yeah, or I guess rotini.
Yeah. I'll take it. It looks great. I do love. So one thing, even if you are lactose intolerant, you don't have to worry about it because real cheese has never touched any of these ingredients. But yeah, they say, so the takeout, which is like the garbage food blog, not the blog being garbage, the food being garbage, says it's actually pretty good. They gave it the sauce is actually creamy, which is an unexpected bonus. I like that. Huh. That's where their expectations
were. Because usually you have to turn
were.
Up.
Yeah.
Your box mac and cheese, like, you know, add a little like half and half, just
a little
whipping butter,
cream.
Just to get a little, just give it that little, little zhuzh.
Always. Yeah, but I am down. I'm going to give this a shot.
We should all, I mean, maybe we could do that for an episode. Well, everyone
just
will do a
taste
test.
On air?
Yeah, simultaneously.
We'll do a
like,
rewatch.
They have microwave cups. Like, so, you know, you can do like the quick version. Although I like the box version. I was never really a fan. Like when they made it, they streamlined it to do a microwave. Yeah. I'm like, it's a little too much energy into that one.
Because I like to keep my mac and cheese al dente. And that's harder with.
You mean crunchy.
I've seen you eat
them. I'm like, nah, man. Just mix the powder in your mouth with the dry shells and it kind of does the same thing.
It's much faster that way, I found.
Yeah. But your teeth are a mess. They're all chipped and shit from just chewing all that dry macaroni.
My lips are all cut up. All right, let's also talk about what we are rewatching this weekend. Let's read off the Netflix top 10 at the moment as we are recording this. Number one is The Lost Husband.
What is that?
Where'd he go?
I don't know. That's the
dude.
That's the
where's
question.
My husband?
Dude, where is my husband?
I don't know what that is, but it's number
one. Yeah, what
one.
That means?
Hot damn! Umbrella Academy. You have you?
He's
caught
usually
up on
the
this?
Last place you look. You
He's
know what I mean?
Usually. The...
Oh, it's
check
Josh
your pussy,
Duhamel.
Girl, check your pussy. What?
Oh, it's Josh Duhamel.
You mean P-word. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
We don't say that here, and it should be dry, for the record, according to my wife.
Jack likes his pussy how he likes his mac and cheese.
That's right. Dry and in my mouth.
And spicy. The whole thing with Lost Husband is Josh Duhamel says, looking to start anew, a widow retreats with her children to her aunt's goat farm where the ranch's manager helps her navigate country life and loss.
Is that a comedy?
This sounds... Okay. I'm gonna put a pin in that one.
Okay.
That sounds like such an absurd proposition already. Like, why is that in the pitch? Like,
and
in
why
your...
is the title The Lost Husband?
Doesn't
like she
sound
lost
like
her
the
husband and they're
even
like,
in it.
Let's call it The Lost Husband. Well, I'm sure Josh Duhamel is like sexy goat herder who comes in and, you know.
It's based on Catherine Center's 2013 novel. Okay, so
okay.
We'll make sure to do a little research.
Have we found our new Nicholas Sparks? Is this our new Nicholas Sparks?
I have no idea. It says, as of July 2020, 58% of the 19 interviews compiled on Rotten Tomatoes are positive. Okay.
The reviews.
Average score is 6.11 out of 10. Ooh. Okay.
That's not bad.
Okay.
On Metacritic? That's not bad at all.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes started doing the Metacritic thing.
Brian Tellerico of RogerEbert.com awarded the film 2.5 stars. Okay, so that, I mean, it's predictable.
That feels about right.
Wait, hold on. What BTAC say? All right. 2.5? Good. Brian Tellerico, all respect to him and his opinions.
Have you caught up on Umbrella Academy? That's number 2.
I'm on episode 3.
Of this
of the
season?
New season? Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that? I haven't watched it.
I want to watch it all the way because it's all kinds of fucked up already.
Oh, like, really?
I'm like, what? Jack, you're going to love it, actually. Did you watch the first season?
Is it good? No.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed the first season. It's, like, easy to watch. I forgot most of it because it wasn't, like, the best thing I'd seen, but it was easy to watch. But now, in this one, like, they get thrown back in time and shit. It's not a spoiler, but in this second season, like, they're dealing with intersecting with the Kennedy assassination.
What?
And, like, the different permutations of what could happen if they intervene. So it's interesting.
Damn. And like right now, I don't even know which way it's going. Like some, it's all, there's so much time travel and all this other shit, but it's, you definitely cannot, it's not one of those things you can watch like while being on your phone. Cause I think a lot of people, you could watch something, kind of check your phone, be in and out. This shit, you will lose the thread so damn quick. So you got to respect the material and watch it.
I'm big on Schitt's Creek and crossword puzzles these days. Those.
Oh, not, together.
Yeah, background music. World's Most Wanted keeps hanging around the top 10, and I don't know. It just seems like it's a docuseries about like criminals.
Yeah, but people, I've had two people I know text me and ask me if I've watched it.
Really?
Which is interesting. And I don't know if they're asking me because they feel like it's up my alley, but they're like, you watch it yet? Or like, have you seen World's Most Wanted? So I don't know.
Put a pin in that because I have no idea what that is. Yeah. The Seven Deadly Sins, which appears to be manga.
Mangoes. A couple mangoes. Got the mangs on deck. Yeah, that's probably a series, right? Yeah, that's a series. That's a long. I think the other one I would watch is that one Work It, which looks like a weird dance movie because I love
I love dance movies, odds
dance films.
I just rewatched Stomp the Yard the other day.
Oh, you did?
I did.
So it turns out that is
in that movie.
That's a type of movie that is very popular on Netflix, like streaming. It's like, well, I think one of those types of movies that they've figured out, oh, people actually really like this more than we realized because they're making them as original programming. And also, like, when you look at the top 10 shows of the summer, Last Dance was number 4, I think.
But that's not, oh, okay. We're not talking about dancing specifically.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, what is The Last Dance? Oh, shit. I'm an idiot.
Bro, what?
I'm so dumb.
I was like, is Jack there another actually hasn't last watched dance?
The Last Dance? He was lying when we were doing those recaps every week. He's just getting lucky, I guess.
Isn't there a dance movie called something similar to Last Dance?
Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance. That's what I was thinking. Anyways.
But like, this one has like the most, again, aggressively formulaic plot. A brilliant but clumsy high school senior vows to get into her late father's alma mater by transforming herself and a misfit squad into dance champions.
I mean,
hell yeah.
Yes. Sign me up.
So, yeah. Okay. So they're dancing. I mean, I think, yeah, especially with like TikTok and stuff, like kind of mainstreaming, like even if you can't dance, just dance, which I think is great because
right, exactly.
Not everybody has to be able to throw it. You know,
democratization of dancing and singing. Those are things we're seeing. Not everybody can sing like me, but they can try, you know?
But hey, look, if you're having trouble crying, maybe dance a little bit. If that helps get your emotions out, like that's a gateway to fully expressing yourself down the road.
Yeah, so we got Work It, we got Shameless, we got Selling Sunset, Dennis the Menace.
I already watched that whole thing.
Selling Sunset?
Yep.
All right.
Me and Jamie Loftus, we stand that show like in a really bad way. We're like, why do we do this to ourselves?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of actually comedians tweeting about loving it.
I think it's because you're watching human beings like exist in a reality that like most people will just don't understand or will know of, like these like real estate people who are just making massive amounts of money and like everything that's important to them. It's just so weird. They're like so glamorous and everything's just money and you're like, oh my God. But then part of you is like a broke person, you're like, damn, that would be sick though. But I would still vote for your taxes to be way the fuck higher. Don't get me fucked up.
Don't they like not sell anything the whole time?
There's one house that's like so expensive that it just ends up hanging over the entire season and it like doesn't even matter. Like this, it's really never about the house. It's like, but it does really
trash people.
It's like one of those things. It's like a Netflix show where they get like how to thread that needle of like people like house flipping shows or like seeing nice houses, but also you want the messy tea of like a bunch of people with Birkin bags and like Botox talking shit. So it's got it all, but it's probably the least redeeming shit you could watch right now.
Yeah, I might have to spend a week with the missus watching that. Dennis the Menace, Wizards, still. Tales of Arcadia, and Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Yeah, Dennis the Menace being so like popular and having legs is really surprising to me.
Yeah. Do you remember that one, Sophia? The 90s
I don't even
one?
Know what that is.
Walter
the
90s Matthau.
Dennis, the live action Dennis the Menace.
Christopher Lloyd as a drifter bad guy.
No, I never saw that.
He's eating like a can of beans or something. There's like a big fart scene, I feel like, when they're eating by a campfire.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that kid now, that.
Who played him, Mason Gamble, is a marine biologist.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yep.
And then we have an updated top 10 movies of the summer. I think we talked about the fact that The Lorax and 365 Days and Old Guard were 1, 2, and 3. But now Kissing Booth 2 has broken into the top 5. Desperados is like a rom-com. Maybe I'll do that. Desperados.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Nassim?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I started watching that.
Nassim Bedrada, I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, how do you
know? It's got a very aggressive premise, but what comedy film doesn't? You need that to kind of get everything going.
Sorry. The movie that I was talking about that I confused The Last Dance with is Feel the Beat. Is that?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the dance movie, right?
Right. That's the dance movie.
Wait, what's Feel the Beat? There's Feel the Beat and Work It? Oh, come on now. See, now we're doing too much. But what is Feel the Beat about? Oh, that's another Netflix film.
Right.
Oh, shit. I'm like looking and I'm like, I was watching it. I'm like, would you like to resume? Oh, shit. Yeah. I was twisted when I watched this because let's be real. It's a TVG rated Netflix movie. I remember this shit now. It's so bad. This shit is so bad.
Oh, it's G rated?
Yes. I don't know what the. Don't worry about me. Don't worry
about
me.
Maybe I need to watch that so I can watch it with my kids and also get into the dance movie craze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is. Yeah, it's the point I was trying to make is that they seem to be doing really well with dance stuff.
Yeah. All right, so this is a very dancey thing. I guess you'll do Feel the Beat.
Yeah.
And then what was the one I said? I forget the name already.
Work It.
Work It. Work It. I need a glass of water. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to stick with Desperados because I don't want it to be too dancey.
Okay. Ted Danson. All right, so let's keep it to homework assignment, Desperados, or I already forgot what the fuck was it called?
Work It. It's a bad song.
Yeah, because that name just, it's so bad.
I mean,
it's just so
song.
Generic.
Yeah, but like. Yeah. All right.
That's going to do it for the week. Sophia, it's been great having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, you can find me on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, with what? Miles Gray,
mm-hmm.
and on Twitter and Instagram at The Sophia, SOFIYA. Also, listen to my album, Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
It's Miles good. Did it.
I did. And for the longest time, I was being like, yo, everybody listen to it on 420 Day Fiance. And she was like, have you actually listened to it? At the time I had it. And I was like, no.
Oh.
I'm going to be straight up with you. I did not. Then I listened to it right away, and it's, you shouldn't be surprised. Sophia comes with the goods every time, and it's hilarious. So check that album out for sure.
Thanks.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes.
Or some other work
is
social
media? Screenshotted. I like this tweet from Steph _MCCA. Where are we at on student loan forgiveness? BTW, I didn't mean to go to college. It was an accident. And then this one from Personally Rich, and it says, credit scores are astrology for landlords.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, the at Miles of Gray. Also, where else? PlayStation Network, and Sophia said, 420 Day Fiance. Production of iHeartRadio, where hey. And also a production of many blunts and watching a ton of reality TV, where you can hear some of the most aggressive impressions and impersonations you have ever heard. Okay, let's see. A tweet that I like. I actually did like that same one about the astrology for landlords thing.
Huh.
And this one is a very comedy insider tweet, but if you know who Eliza Skinner is, you'll appreciate this. She's a very gifted comedian, is nice with the rap skills. She used to do like an improv rap show at UCB. She's also like does that rap battle show. She's like the head writer for that. She's just like a fantastic musician.
She's the most talented fucking rapper and writer. Funny.
Yeah, so at Eliza Skinner tweeted, "Sweet Jesus, my 25-year-old neighbor is outside talking about how good she is at musical improv. This is a circle of hell."
That's amazing. Somebody tweeted that clip. Did you see the clip where Cardi and Megan from the WAP video are replaced by Biden and Kamala? Like their their faces are grafted on there.
Oh no.
It's like really well done and therefore wildly depressing and upsetting. And at Shart Week tweeted, "I'm not even looking both ways before I cross the street anymore. If God wills it, let him take me from this place." In response to that, Harry Charles Zeit Gang tweeted a little story about the lead singer Smash Mouth that I think is just illustrative. Smash Mouth played Bratfest here in Madison. They stayed at a downtown hotel my friend is a bartender at. The lead singer harassed her the whole time to come up to his room. When she refused, he left a zero tip on their $500 tab. So shout out to
he's gonna get smashed in the mouth next time.
He should
I
get
see him.
Smashed in the mouth, am I right? Sorry, there was one more. Oh, and then Ryan O'Flanagan tweeted, "If I were a professional basketball player, my thing would be apologizing every time my shoes squeaked." You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out?
Okay, this is a track from Ego LMA. I've suggested this track from her maybe a while ago, but this is a different track. She is from London. She has got that like soulful vibe. If you like the Jill Scott, Erykah Badu thing, if you just want to hear a wonderful voice and some really, really wonderful instrumentation behind it, this is it. So this is just like, okay, let's go into the weekend with some relaxing vibrations. This track is called How Far by Ego LMA. Check her out.
Awesome. We are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending before we head into the weekend. We will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Easy come, easy go, everybody knows. Still we chase it, won't leave it alone. The waves are far time, my mind's always blown away. He wants me, I want him, it could be simple. We taught baby names, we talked about issues like socioeconomics, race, poverty and stuff. Though it ain't enough, wish I could know how far we could go. Wish I could know.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.